To Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord by singing, "The Lord is in His holy temple."
The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence, keep silence before Him. Amen.
The call to worship is taken from Psalm chapter 71, verses 15 to 17. My mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Let us arise for the opening hymn. The hymn is number 15. The hymn is number 15, 1-5. How shall I sing that majesty?
How shall I sing that majesty, which angels do admire? Let dust in dust and silence lie, sing ye heavenly choir. Thousands of thousands stand there, thy truth will God most high. 10,000 times 10,000 sounds, thy praise God who am I. Thy brightness unto them appears, whilst I thy footsteps trace. A sound of God comes to my ears, tell me of thy face. They sing because thou art best, Lord, send him on me. For when is but once begun, then alleluias be. Enlighten with faith's light my heart, inflame it with love's fire. Then shall I sing and bear apart with celestial choir. kept the good Lord treasure of my might. How great a being, Lord, is that which doth all beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only light, so vast and deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a sun without a sphere. Thy time is now and evermore, thy place is everywhere.
Let us bow heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how shall we sing thy majesty, which angels do admire? Let we who are dust in silence lie, sing, sing, ye heavenly choir. Who are we that we should sing thy praises, when thousands of thousands stand around thy throne, O God Most High? They sing because thou art their Son. They have seen thy glory. They have tasted of thy goodness. So would thou do the same to us. Send a beam upon us as well, that we may speak of thy wondrous grace. For where heaven is but once begun, there hallelujahs be. Enlighten our hearts with the light of faith, inflame it with love's fire. Then shall our mouths shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. How great a being, Lord, is thine, which doth all beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only line to sound so vast a deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a sun without a sphere. Thy time is now and evermore, thy place is everywhere. Therefore, we trust to go in thy strength, O Father. We will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Help us as we declare of thy wondrous works together today in the congregation of thy people. Grant us a taste of thy goodness as we remember thy providential care over all our lives. And would thou, O Father, fill our hearts with joy and thanksgiving, that we may in response sing with gladness and speak of thy kindness to one another. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who while he was on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
Please be seated. Our Our scripture text for today is taken from Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Let us turn our Bibles together to Joshua chapter 23. I shall begin with the odd verses. Please respond with the even. Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God have done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that have fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, and has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from all this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Last two verses in unison. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things that are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Thank God for the reading of his word. We shall now sing another hymn seated. This hymn is a slightly new hymn, so we shall have the organist to play through it once before we shall sing it. The hymn is number 439. 439. I'm a soldier.
Scars to show in heaven when we meet. How many crowns and trophies will I cast at Jesus' feet? I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army.
Amen. Let us now look at our memory verse in our order of worship on page 3, taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's read this verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Shall we take some time to meditate upon these verses and to memorize it? Shall we try together? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Thank God for this wonderful verse. Let us lay hold upon it as well. And we shall now prepare our tithe and offering. The offertory hymn is related to the verse we just memorized. The hymn is number 412. 412. Fight the good fight. Arise for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures below. Praise Him above the heavenly host, His Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we know how weak and frail we are, how reliant we are upon thy goodness and thy grace to sustain us at every moment. Will thou help the words of this hymn to stick fast in our hearts? Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and the trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life, and Christ its love. Help us not to faint, help us not to fear. Remind us that thou art near, that thou changest not, and that we are dear unto thee. Give us strength to believe, and thereby to see that Christ is all in all to us. Give us thy grace to run the straight race through thy good grace. Lift up our eyes and aid us in seeking thy face. Help us to see that our life shall soon be past, and we shall soon obtain Christ as our prize. Therefore, help us to fight the good fight with all our might. Help us to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto we have been called, that we may enjoy thee for all eternity. Use these tithes and offerings for this purpose. Father, we need to keep pressing on. Would thou aid us in doing so, using these means that thou hast given to us? And now, as pastor preaches, would thy truth strike deep within our hearts, that we may be nourished by thy word to continue fighting with joy as we battle on the front lines day by day, till we see thee face to face. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. We shall sing one more hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, "The Lord Has Fought For You." The hymn is number 440. 440. "Lead On, O King Eternal." Sound may be quite distracting, but let us try to focus together on the Lord as we worship together. Let us prepare our hearts to pray, and then we shall now invite Pastor up as well to lead us and give to us the message. The Lord has fought for you.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that by Thy grace, Thy church is once again assembled before Thee in Thy holy presence. We thank Thee for the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away all our sins and grant to us this access by grace through faith to this life through the veil directly with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who being our intercessor bring us nigh to the Father. O God, we ask that Thou would be gracious to strengthen Thy people and bless us as we gather week after week to worship Thee, to look to Thee. O Lord, we are a needy people, and we ask that Thou would be gracious to strengthen Thy people, that we may draw nigh to Thee as Thou would draw nigh to us. Lord, we thank Thee for the journey mercies granted to Lena and the siblings from Malacca, and for Esther from Japan on the 21st of April. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace also in granting to Sister Esther Chang a successful right eye cataract surgery. Thank Thee for her presence with us. We ask that Thou be gracious to grant full and complete and speedy recovery, and for the surgery that is due for the left eye on the 6th of May. Father, we pray and commit to Thee the healing of Mr. Lee Kim Song from his heart condition. Thou knowest his condition, and we plead with Thee for Thy grace to sustain him and strengthen the family at this time of need. Father, we pray for healing for Shu Fen, for her diminished kidney condition, and as her mother handles her physical condition that is deteriorating weak, Lord, may Thou be with them to strengthen them. Father in heaven, we pray and commit to Thee Nerissa and Natalie, the daughters of Lena, that Thou would be gracious to grant to them smooth pregnancy for the babies that are due in early June and in September. Father, we pray for Thy help for the roof repair work for Sister Angeline in her house, that Thou would be gracious to strengthen the family, grant safety for the daughter Julie and herself throughout this period of the roof repair work. Father, we pray and commit to Thee the peace of Jerusalem. May Thou be gracious to bless Thy people as we intercede and seek Thee at Thy throne of grace, that indeed Thou would be gracious to, in the battle that Thou has engaged Thy people, light against darkness, goodness against evil and wickedness in high places. O God, we ask that Thou wouldst strengthen Thy people as we wait upon Thee for Thy good will to be fulfilled. We pray for strength and courage for Thy people in Ukraine and Russia as they wait upon Thee for their deliverance. And we commit to Thee the authorities in Singapore to govern justly and equitably, and for Thy mercy to protect this land from terrorism, from haze, from pestilences. Father, help Thy people that we may love Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, in sincerity, serve thee with gladness and faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to seek thy will each step of the way and to obey thy commandments. Grant to thy people that we may feel and know thy presence with us, thy gracious hand in our lives, daily to praise thee for thy goodness, and fill thy people with peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to put on kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and charity, that thy word may come to us and that it may indwell us richly in all wisdom. Help us that we may increase in faith in thee. Help us to be spiritually minded. Help us to confess our sins before thee and to trust thee that thou art faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray for thy people. Help us to read the Old Testament books twice this year. Open our understanding and apply the lessons learned in our lives. Father, we pray for thy guidance as we prepare for the church camp from the 11th and 14th of June. We thank thee for thy enabling that thy people has registered and are preparing to come. O Lord, we ask for thy blessing as thy church would gather to meet with thee. Father in heaven, we ask that thou wouldst now bless the preaching of thy holy word. May thy spirit come and illumine us, guide us, bless us with understanding, and send us forth to be thy holy messengers, to be thy ambassadors, for thy own mercy's sake, that indeed the gospel may go forth and accomplish thy purpose for the salvation of souls and the strengthening of the faith of the saints to the glory of thy name. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord fought for you is the title of our message, taken from Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1 to 16. Every decision that we make in life has a potential to show if it is God's way or if it's the world's foolish way. Receiving good counsel and guidance, we must apply these instructions to make a choice to walk in God's way. Not only to begin our walk with God, but to persevere in our walk with Him. That it will be not just a beginning, but it shall be a continuing of our life with God. Our Lord Jesus illustrated this truth when he said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13 to 14, in the Sermon on the Mount, at its conclusion, "Enter ye at the straight gate," he says, "for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Enter the straight gate is God's call to men throughout the ages to live with God through Jesus Christ. The word straight means narrow, restrictive. It expresses the difficulty to enter. It is a gate of conversion and regeneration. The entrance to this gate describes the beginning of this blessed life. And keeping on the narrow way is the continual blessing of such a life. Life with God in the narrow way will cost us our sins. God is not only a God of love, but He is a holy and just God. He will deal with us after our sins because He is a just God. When we sin willfully against Him, He will chastise us so that we can be brought back to love Him, to love the beauty of holiness. This is a good price to conform to the image of Christ. Our sins must be dealt with. Our sins must be put to death. When we transgress God's laws, we will be dealt with by the Lord, for He knows and sees our every sin, whether it be open, whether it be secret. So the writer of Hebrews says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He prunes and trims us so that we can bear more fruit, more good fruit in our lives." Jesus persuades His listeners to enter the kingdom of heaven through the straight gate. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. All who enter will begin this journey of walking with God. And this is opposed to the kingdom of Satan, the prince of this world, which is called the white gate that Jesus speaks of. It is wide because it is all-encompassing and anything goes, lawless and godless. It describes this fallen world that we live in. The kingdom of heaven is described as the kingdom of light, as opposed to darkness. It is the kingdom of righteousness, as opposed to sin, shame, and the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. Just as Jesus had asked the multitudes to appreciate the heavenly kingdom that He was imparting to them, today He asks the same question to you. Will you choose to enter this kingdom that leads to eternal life, or that kingdom that leads to everlasting destruction? There is a choice that we are asked to make. Joshua, the leader of Israel, in our text in Joshua chapter 23, the first of the last words of Joshua, chapter 23 and chapter 24, two messages that he would give to the people of God. He has led them to inherit the promised land. And he was addressing here in this chapter the leaders of Israel, like the sitting parliament that we know in our land. He bids them to come to Shiloh. That was their meeting place where the tabernacle stood. It was the seat of government in Joshua's day. You know, there were a few places that are important when they enter the land. Gilgal was the place where the Lord rolled away their reproach when the new generation was circumcised. And it was there that He established the military headquarters where the invasion of the land was conducted. And then there was Shechem. It was a center for national gatherings. And here in Shiloh, Joshua would gather the people together. He says in verse 1 of our text, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. So there was a period of time since Israel was given the land of their inheritance, since the Lord has enabled them to fight the good fight, to drive out the enemies, and to possess the land. Now, Joshua is old and stricken in age, our text tells us. Unlike Moses, whom we know at the close of his life, his eye was not dim, nor his natural face abated. For Joshua, the strenuous life of warfare and the strenuous life of leading a nation in all the vicissitudes of troubles, we can see that it has taken a heavy toll on him. And the infirmities of old age had come upon him. In chapter 13, we were told that he was already stricken old. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years." He was about 100 years old at that time. And he was one of the 12 spies that was sent by Moses to spy the land. And he was at least the age of Caleb, who was then 85 years old, and most likely, perhaps a few years more. He was about 110 years old at the time he dies. So between chapter 13 and chapter 20, you will notice that there is a time lapse. They have had the land, and they have possessed the land. And after they have possessed the land, the Lord said to them to distribute the land to the 9.5 tribes. And in that period of time, after he had done so, you would see a 10-year period where we are told here in our text that the Lord had granted to them rest after a long time. To be involved in warfare, to be fighting battles day in, day out, you would find would take a toil upon the man. This was that generation that entered the land. They were engaged in warfare. But the Lord had, by His grace, enabled them to overcome. And there was peace in the land, whereby they were able to possess the land. The north and the south and the east and the west. And the land that was given to them, they had the opportunity to enjoy it. So our text in chapter 23 tells us that they have enjoyed it for some time. The land had rest. And our text tells us that despite his bodily weakness, the Lord was with Joshua. In fact, the Lord was very close to him. In chapter 13, we see the Lord speaking to him personally. You do not need to turn there. But I may just give you an idea of what was spoken there. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. So the description was given concerning the land that needed to be possessed. And the Lord gave them the encouragement that He will be with them, and that they would be able to do so, to possess the land. So between chapter 13 and chapter 23, you would see that there was more work that was placed, that was there, although Joshua was ready in his old age. But here in chapter 23, he was even older. Another 10 years later, the land has been divided, and he is giving these words to the leaders of Israel. What was he saying to them? Well, these are his last words. He was an experienced statesman. He was an experienced military man. He had been able to walk with God closely. And if you study the Old Testament history, you'll see that the man Joshua is one of the few men who walked with God and followed God very closely. And that is the word that he used to encourage the people of God in verse 8 of chapter 23. Verse 8 of chapter 23, he says, But cleave unto the Lord your God. Cleave unto the Lord your God. That word there means to cling on, to hold on, for it is a matter of life and death. To cling on to the Lord, to cleave to Him. This was the life of Joshua. God had blessed him because he had continued to walk with God daily, so that he would not turn to the left nor to the right. He would walk with God according to his ways. And how did he do so? By staying close to the Lord, by cleaving to him. And this was the encouragement that Joshua gave to the generation at the close of his life. He says to them, he gave the word of counsel to them, to encourage them to follow the Lord, to be faithful in their walk with God. He exhorted them in our text to faithfulness by speaking of the Lord's faithfulness in verse 1 to 5 and verse 14, to let them know that the Lord is faithful. They can trust Him to lead them. They can trust Him to bless them. You see, by that time, they already have the opportunity to go into the land, and they would have many cycles of fruiting in the land. Olive trees, pomegranate trees, vines, corn, all the rich produce of the land, they would have already been able to enjoy. And so the scene that is before us is the scene where they have been able to inherit the land. The Lord has fought for them, and the generation that fought had victory. And they could see that the rest that God has given to the people, there was still a need to be vigilant, because there are still pockets of the enemies that needed to be driven out. But here, the Lord through Joshua is exhorting them to persevere in their walk with God, to persevere in following the Lord, and to ensure that they will not walk in a deviant way, that they would be deviated to go in the foolish way, but to persevere in the good way. And that is something that is most heartening. For you see, the peace that Israel had was given because the people followed the Lord. They cleaved to Him. They walked with Him. They were able to see the pitfalls of sin that the Word of God highlighted to them, enabling them to have strength to live their lives. So you would be able to imagine that at that time, there are many families in Israel scattered throughout all the tribes of Israel that has raised children with the Word of God in their hands. They were able to teach them, and they themselves were instructed in the good ways of God. And therefore, that generation was very strong. They knew the way to walk with God, and they have waged good warfare. They have fought the good fight. And for Joshua, he has almost finished his course. And he is making these words of exhortation, just as Peter did at the close of his life when he wrote 2 Peter. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." I know that you know, you have been taking time to study the Word of God. You are growing in the grace and knowledge of God. That's good. But it is not enough. You need to be able to persevere. Just as Jesus says, enter the straight gate and walk in the narrow way. The way is narrow. In other words, it's not going to be so comfortable, but it is the safe way. And so the Lord is, through Joshua, is stirring up their hearts, just as Peter said, to stir you up, to put you in remembrance. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I have still life. But shortly, he says, I must put off my tabernacle. Even as the Lord Jesus has showed me, just as Joshua knew that he was stricken old in age, then he says, I endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always to remembrance. He says these words to the new generation and to the existing leaders of Israel. And we know that these words will stick to them for just one generation. Because the second generation that will come after, they would depart from the Lord. Judges chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8 tells us, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. One generation, faithful. But the next generation, they began to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, we shall be covering the book of Judges in 2 weeks' time. And I believe we'll be closing the study of the book of Joshua by next week and going on to the book of Judges. God had given Israel so much. As we studied the book of Deuteronomy, you know that the Lord had given to them all the good laws by which they were able to understand and know the way of safety, the way of security, the way of blessing. And so, with the Lord so nigh to us, the people of Israel are the most privileged of all of God's people. But you will notice that as time goes by, there will come a deterioration. And how can we arrest that deterioration of faith between one generation to the next generation? Joshua gave these words to the people. Verse 2. Joshua called all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. God fought for Israel. The sun was stayed with special daylight for them to complete their conquest. The Lord was with them. God enabled them, showed them the strategy, gave them the way, so that they would, by this time, possess the land. So Joshua says, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be inherited for your tribes, from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward, all the way from Jordan, after the crossing of Jordan, to the Mediterranean Sea, the great sea that is westward. The entire land was before them. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and shall drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. You remember the Lord said to them that the Canaanites will be driven out little by little, that the strategy would be that the Lord would enable them to do so by the daily strength that God gave to them, that the enemy would be driven back consistently, but little by little. And so as the time passed, they had to continue the warfare. There are still pockets of resistance that has to be dealt with, and they needed to continue to be vigilant. So verse 1 to 4 is an exhortation to recall the faithfulness of God, the power of God that they saw that enabled them to now possess the land. You know, when we first began worship here, there were many things that were unsettled. There were many things that needed to be taken care of. And we can see how the Lord provided for us, how the Lord makes smooth pathway for us, so that we have comfortable chairs, we have proper air conditioning, proper lighting, so that we have the comfort of a sanctuary, that His people may be gathered to worship Him. And we are being sent forth to do His bidding. The work is not complete. There's still much work to be done. There are still empty seats here and there and up there yet to be filled. There's still work to be done. And in order to accomplish God's purpose for raising the church, for raising the nation of Israel as His witness, God's people must not forget what the Lord had done for them. And so at the beginning of this year, we produced our 10th anniversary picture book, so that we would not forget what the Lord had done for us as a milestone, as a memorial to the faithfulness of God, for the goodness and the greatness of God in our midst. This was what Joshua was recalling to the people. And his exhortation to them is that they would be steadfast. Verse 5. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and He shall possess the land. He's saying to them that they will have the victory. The work is not completed yet. And they had to persevere with the good work. They have to continue walking with Him. They must not rest satisfied because they already have a good place to worship. No, you must take time to continue to go out there to the highways, to the byways, to your own family members, to invite them. The reason why the Lord has not come yet is because He is giving time that the souls that ought to be saved would be saved. He's giving us time, He's giving us life, because there's work for us to do. And He's saying to us that you must continue to be steadfast. that the promises of God never fails. That's verse 14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know that in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spake unto you. Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake unto you. So you think how the Lord brought you here. Amidst tribulation and tensions, isn't it? Have you forgotten them already? How the Lord had delivered you? How the Lord had made smooth pathways so that the issues involved were resolved one by one, so that we were able to have what we have and to be what we are today. This is what Joshua is saying to the people of God, that his promises has not failed. All are come to pass, and not one thing failed thereof. So he tells them that the promises of God will never fail, and he exhorts them to steadfastness. He helps them to recall what God had done for them, the faithfulness of the Lord. And then from verse 6 to 11, he exhorts them to faithfulness. He exhorts them to persevere. In fact, their work is now lighter, not heavier, because the great battles had been won. There are still pockets of the enemies around, but the larger battle has been conquered. Isn't it so wonderful? You know, to establish the church, we have to have a registration with the authorities. Even the name of the church has to be given. And it would take time in order to be registered. Do you remember we prayed 127 days before the registration? We cannot function. And how edgy it is to be a congregation of God's people and yet without an identity. 127 days we pleaded and waited upon God so that he would, for him to be gracious, for him to be merciful, so that we can establish ourselves as a legal entity, a proof of God and a proof of men. And so Joshua is saying, let us not forget the goodness of the Lord. And he is exhorting the people of Israel to be faithful to the commitment, the commission that God has given to us. So for each one, we make a vow before God, isn't it? That we will be faithful to attend services. We will be faithful to follow the Lord. We will be faithful to be his witness as a member of the congregation of his people, to serve him. This was what Joshua was saying to the people of God. Verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. What is so significant about keeping the laws of God? If you do not obey the word of God, you are sinning against God. And when you sin against God, God comes after you. We are in trouble when we sin against God. That is the reason why we are to keep the commandments of the Lord. And so Joshua exhorts the people to be courageous, the courage to obey his word. Verse 6, to all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. This was the exhortation that Moses gave to him at the close of Moses' life when we begin this book in chapter 1, you recall. The Lord said to Joshua through Moses, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Israel has had good success by the time we reach chapter 23. Joshua has obeyed the Lord through his word. He had not departed, let the word of God depart out of his mouth, but he had been meditating upon it day and night, so that he may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And so there was success. They were prosperous. They are now in the land. They had the produce year by year of the good land that God has given them, the land that flows with milk and honey. So the Lord says to them, continue to obey. Sin not. Sin not against the Lord. Compromise not, verse 7, that ye come not among these nations, this that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. There is still this pockets of resistance that is there in the land. And I like the Chinese translation. It says that they are not to make any communication with them. The text there tells us that when we compromise is when we begin to give ourselves, to allow ourselves, to let ourselves be influenced by the ways of the world. And so he's saying to them that do not allow this to happen. He's saying to them, compromise not, that ye come among the nations, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them. These are step by step deterioration. Not even mention their name. Have nothing to do with them. Compromise not. And verse 7 he says, verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord. I believe that's a key text in this chapter. Cleave unto the Lord. That's the word that means to cling on, to stay close, to hold on to the Lord for your life. Continue in the good work. Continue in the good walk that you have been walking. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Persevere in the good path. It's a narrow way. Because through the word of God, the Lord will show us like all the pitfalls. This way, if you go, and you're not careful, you would fall. That way, if you go, if you're not careful, you would trip. So the Lord is full of, God's word is full of guidance, full of admonitions, full of warnings to His people. Because that's the reality of a hostile world that we are living in. So the Word of God gives us many warnings. Shows us the dangers. And we must make sure that we cleave to Him. To hold on to Him. Stay close to Him. So we say that we have begun our reading of the Word of God. And now we are at the close of the book of Joshua. So we have started in Job. We have done the five books of Moses. Now Joshua. Seven books. And Joshua we would finish by the end of next week. How is your reading? I say to you that unless we are serious to follow the Lord, unless we are serious to understand the dangers that befall our spiritual life, when will we be awakened to be serious to walk with the Lord? That we will take time to read the Word of God, to understand the Word of God. Right, so we have our colored text behind. I would encourage you, after you have completed reading, to write down a few words of application, what the Lord has taught you, as a way by which you give a testimony that you are serious to walk with God. You are serious about your own spiritual life, that you are cleaving to Him, that you are reading the Word of God. And verse 9 to 10 tells us that God will be with us. We will continue to grow. Verse 9 says, "For the Lord hath driven out from before you the great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you until this day." What a promise that God gave to Israel, isn't it? That their enemies cannot stand before them. Why? Because God's power was with them. God's wisdom was with them to guide them. They knew how to walk. And they were able to walk righteously, holily, for the Lord's sake. "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He has promised you." What a nation that God had raised. The fewest of all people. But if one were to chase 1,000, how glorious would be the impact of Israel's witness to the surrounding nations. How they would be a people that God would blessed richly. And verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. The Lord has loved you with an everlasting love, provided you with everything that you need, protect you from every danger that you can imagine. And I remember there was one of the Wednesday I was coming for prayer meeting, and I was driving out. My house was at a car park, and I had to stop because there was a car that was in front, and it was trying to park, and it reversed directly into me. And just as the car was about to hit, I could do nothing. Because it was reversing to me, I could not move anywhere. Suddenly, the car stopped. Suddenly, the car stopped. Not once, but just this week on Thursday, same thing. I was making a U-turn, and you know, one car after another, you make the U-turn, but the car in front make a U-turn and couldn't complete the turn. And therefore I had to reverse. I was in the middle. There was another car behind. You're in between. And you see it coming against you, and suddenly it stopped. And it moved on again. You know that it's fatality each time. And yet the Lord protected. How did it happen? Well, we just don't know, isn't it? That the Lord has His ways of protecting His people. Because the Lord loved us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. And from verse 12 onwards, He would seek that they would not live faithlessly by transgressing His covenant. And He would elaborate what it means by compromising with an unequal yoke in marriage, verse 12, in serving other gods, verse 15a. And He would not only tell them what are those things that they must not do to transgress His covenant, but He also tells them the consequence of their compromise. In other words, He tells them what is going to happen to them. The blessings of peace would be revoked. Verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps and scourges in your sights, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land. If you will not choose to be serious in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life, we play the fool. Then, here it is said to them, that the enemies that God will raise will become snares and traps, thorns and scourges. How sad it is to live such a life, isn't it? A life of compromise. A life where God has to be against us. So Joshua had to give this warning that the blessing of life would be revoked from them. Verse 16. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bow yourselves to them, Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. And this you would see from now on, at the end of the book of Joshua, at the beginning of the book of Judges, all the way until the Lord would send the Babylonians to come to take them out of the land. And for 70 years, they would cry in the land of Babylon. And after 70 years, Israel would learn their lesson. No more idols, no more idols. Sometimes God has to give us the hard one, isn't it? If we would not learn, we would repeat again. That was what happened in the book of Judges. That was what happened during the book of Kings. The lessons that Joshua would say to his people, the admonitions, the exhortations that he gave to them, they are to take heed. Those times when they did, Israel was strong. But those times when they didn't, life was miserable. And so the Lord has given us very good examples. Show us the way whereby we will have good success, that we will be prosperous in the sight of God. And he is exhorting us not to throw it all away. Not to throw it all away. But to take hold of all that God has for his people. So the commission that God has given to this church has not been revoked. The blessings that he will be with us all the way has not been revoked. In fact, he is, by his grace, by his spirit, continuing to do the work of convicting and converting and consummating. And we are thankful to the Lord. Let us persevere in faithfulness to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people to walk with thee. Grant us thy grace. Grant us a persevering heart to cleave to thee, to keep close to thee. Strengthen us for thy own namesake. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn, Please Arise, is 532. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 532. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Do read the pastoral in page 1. The Bible reading plan. Well, I pray that you have made your ticks wonderful. The Lord help us. Right, you have completed, put your ticks. You should have completed by now the book of Deuteronomy. Well, I pray that not only read, but take note and make a note. Right behind there, we have color post-its. Do write them. We have printed for you some of it that our brethren have done for your encouragement, so that we will not we would exhort one another to love and to good works. Kindly note, there shall be no Wednesday Bible study and prayer meeting this coming Wednesday. The church camp today, registration closes. Do make your registration at the counter behind. That's all the announcements that we have. The Lord bless you and keep you. Service is now over.